Blog Talk Radio.
We're awful quiet in there, babe.
I checked in this morning with my wife.
Yes.
And while I was in the shower, she left the room.
Yes.
And she hasn't come back.
And she left with the man who had called her. He had his arm around her.
He could have had a gun.
Like this.
Here. What would you like us to do exactly?
I want you to find my wife.
No one will believe him.
I hope you know what you're doing, Dr. Walker.
And only one person in Paris can help him.
My wife.
Where's my wife?
She's about to lead him.
You would get your wife, I'd get my money, and everybody would be happy.
Into a world as mysterious as she is.
Stop lying to me! Now!
What began as a holiday in Paris became a journey into suspense. Harrison Ford in a Roman Polanski film, Frantic.
Hello and welcome to Great 80s Movies, and today we are talking about Frantic from 1988, starring Harrison Ford, Emmanuel Seigneur, Betty Buckley, and I'm joined by Kip. What's
Hello.
Up, man?
How are you doing? I think you played Betty Buckley in an American accent, but yeah.
I'm going to do the whole review in a French accent.
An impeccable French accent.
Yes, I learned from Pepe Le Pew. This movie we watched a couple of days ago, and it was pretty good. So it's another 80s movie we're going to cover here. And before we go into it, we should mention that this movie didn't do too well in the box office in America, although it did okay overseas. It got very good reviews. Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up. And it's gotten a good score. I think it's got like an 80 or something, Rotten Tomatoes.
I checked it out as well.
It was a $20 million budget.
That was 30 years ago, so that's like more obviously than it is today. But yeah, that's kind of a big budget, I guess.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's like not an action film, even though it's sort of, it feels like the plot of Taken or something, but like no one's getting like, you know, their arms broken left and right. It's like kind
right.
of subtle.
Yeah. It grossed $17 million domestically. It made a little bit more overseas, but I don't know if it even, you know, made money at all, really. But in any case, it's a Roman Polanski movie, starring, actually, his wife, he later married this woman, what's her name, Emmanuel, after this.
And they made another movie together that I saw that I don't remember anything about, that Hugh Grant was in. And Roman Polanski directed it. It was also kind of, this movie wasn't actually that dirty. The Hugh Grant one was kind of dirty.
Really? And did she get him a little more naked in that one than this one?
I feel like she does. It's called like Bitter Moon or something. Until we were just talking about it, I forgot. I didn't even realize I had seen this movie that I'm now talking about.
Yeah, well, she's a beautiful girl. As we know, he has a proclivity for the young ones.
I'm sure she's not that, you know, she's got to be 27 years older than she was in that thing. So, you know.
She's still with him today.
Yeah, I'm sure they lead a nice, well, exiled life.
Didn't he come back? To get an award or something?
No. would you risk your freedom to pick up some fucking trophy?
I thought they relented on the request for his capture.
There may have been, like, a discussion about it, but, like, no. I mean, I think, like, it's been in the paper as recently as a week ago that they're still trying to extradite him.
And when, what was the bottom line? Like, he had sex with somebody who was, like, 15?
Younger, and he drugged her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So there's really no, like, getting around that
one. Yeah, there's no, like, oh, Europeans. I mean, yeah, it's fucked up.
Roman.
And I think it was Jack Nicholson's house. I'm almost positive of that.
Damn, man. Well, and so it wasn't even, like, consented to. It was just, like...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, certainly not something I want to just, like, speculate about. But, like, I know that the victim is, like, you know, kind of willing to just forget the whole thing, but that it's not her call.
Right, right. Okay, well, I guess that's
it was supposed to be a model. It was as shady as shady could be. So, anyway.
We'll evaluate the movie on the merits without regard to that. So, he's no Bill Cosby, okay? Let's put it that way. Maybe, but at least in one instance he is. But
was never, like, thought of as Bill Cosby. It wasn't like he was the beloved uncle of America. He was this kind of, like, you know, weird French director who made horror movies.
We should say that in Europe they don't have these kind of age restrictions on things. There's, like, at least in Italy and France, they it's like you can have sex with somebody who's 13, and it's not a big deal. So
is is that true? I mean,
yeah.
Is that legally the case?
I think so. I think they don't give a shit. But I'm not positive. But
I'm going to, like, look at my Zagats or whatever, before I act on that.
Yeah, let's not, please don't take my word for it and go over there. Be like, well, I heard this podcast.
Yeah.
You know.
Exhibit A.
So anyway, we're going to go through the plot here. I have, some notes I took while we watched the movie so we can kind of work our way through here. Is there any background information that you want to mention before we get into it?
I would say, Roman Polanski's, who we've just been talking about, also made very important movies like Rosemary's Baby and Chinatown. And the guy who wrote Chinatown, uncredited, like, wrote some of this or did a rewrite of it or something.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, this is a nicely woven plot. It unfolds, you know, as a nice mystery. You don't really know what the hell's going on. You don't know how this thing is working here. But a lot of things seem to be thrown in as red herrings. Like, anyway, this guy is basically coming to France with his wife after 20 years. They were there in 68 on their honeymoon, and now they're back. He's giving a lecture, but they're also kind of celebrating their 20th anniversary. So though there is a luncheon that he has to go to right when he tries to get in, that he wants to blow that off and just do the lecture. And his goal is to spend the entire, you know, next 24 hours just banging his wife of 20 years in a hotel room. But things get a little screwy when they realize that the case that her suitcase is not the one that she brought over. It's somebody else's. There was a switcheroo. But let's get into first. We see them coming in a taxi, and there's a flat, and they get into another taxi. They finally get to the hotel, so they're kind of like tired at the. And they really don't want to go anywhere else. They call their kids and they make sure everything's going good there. There's
the first taxi's breaking down. It's nothing to do with the plot, which I think is kind of interesting.
It's just an interesting thing that it's just kind of like the day they're having, you know.
And shit's already not going right.
Like, right. It's a harbinger of something fucked up, I guess. He's taking a shower. She's like, I'm going to order some croissants and room service. And he's like, all right, go ahead. And he's taking a shower. And while he's in the shower, she receives a call. And in this call, we don't hear. Like, he does a great job of you know when you're somebody's trying to talk to you in the shower, you can't fucking hear them. You're like, wait till I get out, you know. Like, you almost like just ignore them, you know. And that's what he's doing to his wife. He's just like, yeah, whatever. So she's just like, yeah, you know. And then she like goes outside and figure, you know, responding to who's calling and. He thinks, you know, he's still talking to her while he's in the bathroom. Meanwhile, the doorbell rings. He's like, you're going to get that? He's like half shaved. And she doesn't answer the door. Finally, he goes to the door and it's the room service. And he brings the trays, puts the trays out on the bed. And he thinks she'll be back right away. Maybe she went to get some ice or something like that. But he falls asleep. Because, you know, obviously he's a little jet lag, and he gets woken up by another bell, and that bell is these toiletries that she had asked for, and he's just like, holy shit, it's been like an hour or something, I don't know, maybe it's been like 45 minutes, and where the fuck is she? So he looks around, he doesn't see her, he goes downstairs, he talks to
the concierge.
And the concierge is just like, well, you know, when did you start? He's like, well, I just got on. He's like, well, where's the guy that used to be here? He's like, well, he left, you know, he went home. And they're like, well, let me talk to the manager. And the manager comes and is like, listen, my wife is gone. Like, and instantly they're giving him kind of like little snickers, like, you're looking for your wife. But they try to call the concierge guy that was there earlier in the day, and his kid answers and says, like, oh, he's asleep. And they're like, well, you got to wake him up. And the guy just kind of hangs up on him. He's like, we'll call later. So that's a dead end right there. He does get a call from the people there that he's going to give the lecture to, and they're like, can we move it up to 3 o'clock? Yeah, whatever. So we keep getting these little calls from, and that's another red herring in this whole thing, is like this lecture thing. Like, is there something going on? Are they involved, you know, but with his wife's disappearance, we don't know. So he goes to the bar that is right across the street, and he figures they can see who comes in and out of the hotel. So he asks the bartender, have you seen this woman? And he has this ridiculous picture of his wife, like holding somebody like sideways. I don't know. It's like kind of a funny, goofy picture of his wife that he's like showing around, which is instantly like putting him in this position, like of a goofball, you know, like it kind of just adds to the whole, like, helplessness of his situation. Like, this is the only picture you have of like your wife, just like this little stupid thing.
She's like one of five people in the photo, and
right, and he's like, you see this lady? And then this guy with a bandana and like kind of looks like Zach Galifianakis is in the bar, and he's like, I saw her, she was taken into a car, he's just like, what are you talking about? And, like, the bartender is, like, kind of like, don't listen to this idiot, you know. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's like, no, I saw her. And he's, like, takes him to the spot where she was taken, apparently. And he looks down and he sees that she left her bracelet, or, like, it was, like, you know, dropped there. And so it's kind of the evidence that, yes, she was there and she was taken, this guy. He goes to the police, and the police are just like, you know, very nonchalant, very just like, your wife, she's missing. And he's instantly like, you know, they're making little jokes and snidely snickering. And it kind of reminds me when I was arrested, like how like my life is being ruined here. And like the cops are just like laughing and making jokes about what they're going to do later. You know, it's like, meanwhile, like my life is over, you know, but this is like kind of like, it reminded me of that for him. He was, he just like, you know, starts yelling at them, and they instantly get like a stiff back about the whole thing. They're just like, fuck you. Like, we don't have to do this. You know, we don't usually do this. This is, we're doing this for you, you stupid American, you know? And so they instantly give him some attitude. They cut his picture, right? Is that what they did? They cut his picture and
cut her out. Yeah, they cut her head out. Yeah.
Right. And they hand him back the picture.
The mutilated picture.
With her cut out, which is kind of a symbol of his life at this moment. His wife has just been cut out of his life. So he's kind of like instantly thinking like, look, this is a kidnapping. She was probably taken, you know, like with a gun, and he starts like showing them like, you know, that this is how she probably was taken. And they're like, well, we can't necessarily, if we do find her, we can't necessarily disclose like where she, you know, where she is, because she might not want to be found. And they instantly kind of imply that, you know, maybe she just ran off with somebody. And he's just like, what are you talking about? Like, and he's like, well, maybe she met somebody the last time she was here. And, you know, he's like,
that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, like in 68. It's just like, he's instantly getting like really pissed off. And he's just like, so then he goes to the gym where the concierge that was working during the day works out, and he's talking to this guy, and this guy like kind of seems kind of gay. I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. He's just kind of looking at him like, yes, I would help you. And then he says, oh yes, I saw her, and I spoke to her, and she asked for some toiletries, and then she left with a man. He called up, and I guess he called up for the doctor, and she went down, or I'm not sure what the situation was, but he said that this man put her arm around him and her and took her out. And he describes the man as a tall, well-dressed Middle Eastern man with a mustache. So he goes to the embassy, the American embassy, and there's this big line. So it's just kind of like him coming up against these, you know, all this pain in the assery here. He says it's an emergency. They're like, it's an emergency for everybody, which it probably is, you know, like all these people. I don't know why all these people are trying to get in the embassy, but they are. So he finally gets through this big line, and they're giving him the same rigmarole that the cops are, you know, to filling out all kinds of forms. Who's this actor in this that's playing the...
John Mahoney. He was the dad on Frasier.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is always awesome.
Yeah. He's instantly just like, you know, a bureaucrat. He's like, listen, there's nothing we can really do. Like, this is their country.
And, like, seems like a nice guy, but at the same time doesn't give a shit at all about, like...
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah, it's awesome. So he's just, like, getting more and more upset here. He's just like, I want you to find my wife. And he's just like, well, you know, maybe you should talk to our security officer. So they go to the security officer. The security officer is like, are you rich? Are you involved in politics? And he's just like, so this is a missing person. He's like, this is not a missing person. He's like, she was kidnapped. And that's where he just, like, does the pantomime of her being, like,
all
taken
right
out. With his, he puts his, he's like, yeah, maybe he had a gun, and he's just like, you know, and it's just almost like they're just like looking at him like he's a clown. And she's like, maybe she wanted, and somebody suggests maybe she wanted to go, and she's like, well, maybe, you know, it's like, that's not my wife. So maybe you're talking about your wife.
that was with the Americans. He says that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he says that at the
embassy.
I know. I thought he was saying. I kind of remember him saying it to the police, but I have it written here where he said
okay.
It.
Okay. No, I believe you.
So anyway, so back at the hotel, he eyes that suitcase, which is the wrong suitcase. He thinks like, okay, well maybe there's some clue in there. So he busts open the suitcase, and it looks just like a random suitcase. I mean, but there is a. There's like a Statue of Liberty replica. There's a little key that's like blue parrot, and then there's a with a blue parrot
matchbook.
in the matchbook is written Dede, and he calls the number. He leaves a message, says please call me back, whatever. So he finally decides to go to the Blue Parrot at the bar, and he asks about Dede. He's like, ask the bartender. He's like, you know where Dede? Can I speak to Dede? And oh, there's this Jamaican guy there. He's like, you looking for Dede, man? I give you Dede. Dede not been here for 2 days, but I can help you. You looking for the white woman? He says, yes, my wife.
The white lady.
Wife. The white lady?
Yeah.
Yes. And he's just like, yes, you've seen the white lady? He's just like, yeah, come with me. I'll show you. And he goes into the bathroom with him and basically gives him a bump, which he takes. He snorts it.
Yeah.
And then he actually buys some Coke from this guy, I guess, to ingratiate himself. And he's like, look, here's 100. I'll give you another one of these if you give me Dede's address. So he gets Dede's address. And
when he does the cocaine, because he's a doctor in the physician. And
so?
you see, after he does the Coke, he puts his finger to his nose to, like, you know, try to brush it out. And then it's, at some point, he gets, like, bored doing that, and then he, like, snorts it even harder. Like, he goes from, like, trying to get it out to, like, trying to get it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little thing because it kind of adds to the whole tension because he's, like, now he's all coked up and frantic.
And pissed off, yeah.
Right, and maybe this gives him, like, the courage to do the rest of the movie, which is pretty, he does some crazy shit in this part. So it may be that, like, this kind of gives him some motivation here. So he goes and
he gets Dede's address from the guy.
Yes, then he goes to the address, he rings the bell, there's no answer, and the door is kind of ajar, so he walks in and he sees Dede in the kitchen with his throat cut. And he's like, holy shit, like, oh fuck. So he goes to the answering machine, he plays what's on there. He plays a bunch of messages from some chick in French he doesn't understand, and then he hears his own message there. I guess he takes the tape probably because he doesn't want his own voice on there because he'll be implicated in this murder, it looks like. I mean, it's
I think he also wants to know, you know, just it's like perhaps a key to the puzzle.
Yes, of course. But also it's like, you know, it sucks to walk into an apartment where somebody's been killed and you're the first one to find him because, you know, instantly you're a suspect. But
you say that like it's happened to you 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, it has. No, it has. But anyway, so he gets the tape. He comes back to the hotel. They're like, yeah, there's been a couple of calls for you, but they would not leave a message. He asked the concierge, she's there. Now, is this the next day or something? Because the guy that was at the gym is now there. So,
I don't know. Couldn't it have been like now it's the night shift? Yeah, that's a good point. He never sleeps.
Right.
I mean,
so
he doesn't go back to sleep after his wife gets that.
I guess the guy was just like going home and sleeping, and then maybe he's working the night shift. So he goes there, and the concierge that was at the gym is there, and he asks the guy to come upstairs with him. He plays the tape for him, and he translates it. But when he goes into the room, he sees a do not disturb sign on there, and then he sees that his room has been completely ransacked. Actually, after he, we should say though, when he looked through the suitcase, he, after he took like the two things, like they asked for the suitcase back and they took the suitcase. So the suitcase is no longer in his room. So when they ransacked it, they didn't find the suitcase because it had already been collected by the airport or whatever, the hotel people that were working with the airport. So the room is ransacked and I guess they didn't find what they were looking for. He listens to the message. The message is like, hello, I've arrived. You know, I have no clothes. I left the suitcase. I have no keys. And so there's a second message. And then the third message is like kind of angry. It's like, where the fuck are you, Day-Day? You know? And so he goes back to Day-Day's apartment and he kind of stakes it out. And all of a sudden, this punk rocker looking French chick comes to the door. Day-Day, where are you? And then she instantly sees the dead Day-Day and she starts screaming. He, to calm her down, like, tackles her and, like, puts his hand over her mouth and just like, listen, you know, it's like, I don't know how the hell she trusts him at this point. I mean, it looks like he killed Day-Day. He's just like, I have your suitcase. And she's like, so you have it. Give me my money. So pay me. That's all she seems to care about. And he's just like, no.
It's like a refrain in the movie that she wants her money.
Right. You picked up the wrong suitcase. Were you on flight 862? She's like, yeah. She's like, well, I want to see your ticket. I don't know why he's so insistent on seeing her ticket. Like, she's going to lie, but whatever. So they go to her apartment, and she's willing to just take him to her apartment. The phone,
that kind of movie. Yeah.
The phone is dead in the apartment because he wants to call the hotel and see if anybody called. But it's dead because her roommate didn't pay the bill. Fucking beach. So the roommate is somewhere in some other country. So she shows him the ticket and he's just like, well, where's my suitcase? And she's like, where's my suitcase? And she's like, she put the wife's suitcase in a locker. And he's just like, well, who hired you? And she's like, Day-Day. And he's like, who hired Day-Day? She's like, I'm not going to tell you. Or she's like, I don't know, or whatever. I think she implies that, like, it's some bad people. And he's just like, what did you smuggle, dope? And she's just like, she didn't really know. What the hell was that? So anyway, they're driving to the airport now to find her suitcase, I guess, or find the suitcase that he gave back to the airport. And he wants the people, he notices that they're being followed and he kind of wants to talk to them. And I don't know why he's like, stop. I want to talk to these people. And then I guess he just doesn't. I mean, they end up at the airport and they get the suitcase that he had turned in.
Well, they don't want to talk to him. She does stop. He gets out, and they just drive away, don't they?
Oh, okay, that's what happens. So when he's at the airport, he sees some people that he knows, some people that are going to be at the lecture the next day, and they're all, like, eyeing her and being like, what the fuck are you doing with this chick? Where's your wife? And he's just, like, acting all distracted and, like, doesn't really know what the fuck's going on. He takes out the matchbook, and all of a sudden the Coke falls down on the ground, and she kind of hides it for him and put, you know, slides her foot onto it. But then she just, like, grabs it and leaves with her suitcase. He's busy kind of talking to these idiots that are going to meet him at the lecture the next day, and he chases after her, and she has no money, so she can't get out of the parking lot. He pays the parking guy, and one of the people that know him is like, you're looking for your little friend, you know, implying that he's having an affair or something like that. So then he gets a call. He gets back to the hotel, and there's a call from a Dr. Alan Bear for the slides for the lecture. This is just some other bullshit that really has nothing to do with the story. It's just like this guy, you know.
And I was so sure watching it that I was so clever that it's all going to be about this. It's because it was like a lot like The Fugitive somehow. It has nothing to do with it. The Fugitive, it all does come down to a lecture about medical shit.
Yes. And it's interesting because it's basically a misdirection for the that think like, well, maybe there's something going on here, but it's really nothing. We don't even see him give the lecture.
And I think he just misses it. That doesn't, like, who gives a shit? His wife is kidnapped.
Actually, I don't know if he missed it or not, because I think, like, you know, it was, like, early in the morning the next day that, so he theoretically could have gone, but. They go up to the room, and she's just, like, remarking on how messy it is. the police show up, and he's in this ransacked room with this French chick. The police are like, "Who's this chick? We want to talk to her." And they're like, "We just have a few questions." And he just kind of blows them off and says, "Look, everything's fine. You know, like, don't worry about it." He just knows they're not going to help him, so he almost wants them to just butt out. We'd like to talk to the girl. And he's just like, "Listen, have some discretion." He basically just like plays like this chick is his mistress, and they being French are just like, "Oh, okay, no problem. Like,
yeah,
don't worry about it." So he's like, "Can I have some consideration?" So the cop asks about the tape that he had played that the concierge listened to, and he's just like, you know, he's just like, it's nothing. He just kind of sends them off, and she leaves too, the chick. And then he calls home, and the kid is obviously, you know, like having a party there at their house. And the kid notices that he's really like, something's wrong, but he's just playing it off. So this is some good acting here on his part.
And an interesting scene. You know, he is a fucking family to like have to be tough for,
right? And he doesn't want to worry them, so he plays it off and he just gets off the phone. He goes to the chick's apartment, and he has to, because there's no key, he has to go in the same way she did, which is like going on the roof and everything. But meanwhile, he's got this like suitcase with him with all these weird things in it. And he just totally gets fucked up on the roof. The suitcase, like, breaks open. Like, it's kind of a symbol of just, like, the day he's having, man. It's just, like, a big mess. He has to take his shoes off, and they just, like, fall and roll off the roof. And he just has to, like, go barefoot now with, like, and climb into the room with everything that, all the contents of the suitcase now scattered, teetering on the roof. But it looks like a bunch of meaningless junk, so who gives a shit? He goes into the chick's apartment, and he sees that she's being questioned by two men. They're being very aggressive with her. They're grabbing her hair, asking where the fucking suitcase is. She's just like, "I left it in the locker." And then he kind of busts in and starts yelling and pretends. He takes off his clothes and gets in the bed and pretends that he's just, like, been sleeping there the whole time, like he's her lover. And it's just an interesting thing that he decides to do here. He just decides to be, like, a drunk American, you know, and starts, "Fuck, I want you to get the fuck out of here." And they basically just kick him in the face and knock him out. But then they leave. They leave and kind of threaten her, and they're on their way. I guess they don't want to have any real trouble with this guy. He wakes up to this band playing. He's in a different place. He's just like, "How the fuck?" And it's like he's trying to get them to talk to her, and they're just ignoring him. You know, like he just goes up to this band, and they're like playing, and they just act like he's totally invisible. Which probably is just like totally frustrating to him. Like they're just like grooving out on the music, and he's just like, "Hello, and listen, you know, what's going on?" And they're just like, they act like he's not even there. Finally, she's there, and she's like, "Well, my friends brought you here." What do they do? They just like pick him up and carry him there? I don't know, but he's now there. He's just like, she's like, "Oh, I called the hotel, and they said that your wife called twice." He's like, "Holy shit." So he goes back to the hotel. The phone is ringing. Just as he's about to get in the room, like he misses the call, which is like very frustrating. But then they call right back. They're like, "We have your wife." He's just like, they're like, "Where's the suitcase?" And he's like, "I got the thing you want." I mean, does he know what they're after? At this point, he doesn't know yet.
No, he's just bluffing.
Right, okay, he's like, "I got the thing you want." Right. So he goes back to the roof. Oh, that's right. He hears the people that are roughing her up in her hotel talk about a statue. So he starts something with that statue of Liberty, which is now sitting on the roof like just about to fall over the edge. So he goes back to her apartment and gets onto the roof and tries to get that thing, and almost like she dies almost trying to get it. She's like hanging off the roof, and he helps her up, and that thing falls to the ground and breaks open, and in it is like some little circuit thing.
Yeah, it looks like a, I mean, that's a movie prop. It looked like it took 10 minutes to make, like a D-volt battery with like two wires sticking out of it.
Right.
And it's like painted black with like a lightning stripe on it or something.
Yeah. So they go to the rendezvous spot that they agreed upon on the phone call. And finally we see his wife in the car. And we're like, holy shit, like this is it. Like they're going to make the exchange. Everything's going to be fine. But all of a sudden, like, she decides, oh, no, first I want my bread. Where's my bread? So she kind of fucks change. And as she's demanding her bread, some other dudes come in and start shooting.
Aren't they cops?
No, I think these dudes are, like, Israelis or something, or, like, Mossad. Like, they're like, it's, like, Arabs that are basically hired day-day to get this thing. But there's also, like, Israeli Mossad who are basically trying to thwart it because they're like, you know, I guess, you know, they don't want these Muslims to have this device.
It's a weapon or something, right?
It's a triggering device for like some nuclear missile or some shit. They shoot and there's a big shootout and one of them gets shot and they start, so they have to like run and chase after these people in a car with a dead guy in the driver's seat, which is kind of a funny situation. They, you know, they kind of clownishly ride around town with this dead guy. She takes his wallet, you know, because she's kind of like she just wants money, but whatever. So they chase these guys with a dead driver. They don't find any. They lose them. He gets into a calls the embassy, and they're, you know, still, like, acting completely brain dead. He finally just like, tells them to fuck off. They're like, how do you spell the bar that you're at? He's like, S for shit. And he just fucking hangs up. So then,
They also ask him how he spells Paris. Is that what you said?
No, he was like, I'm at the cafe, whatever.
Yeah, but then it's like maybe the cafe Paris. And the guy's like, how do you spell Paris? And it's like he's just straight up fucking with them. Like, you know, it's like, this is what we think of you.
I guess, yeah, he I guess he starts explaining what's going on, and they're just like, get nuts. But they do go out and meet him.
Yes, they do.
So they're going through the dead guy's wallet. They see that he was born in Cyprus, and he has a business card from the nightclub called A Touch of Class. And the embassy guys show up at this bar, he's like, who's got my wife? They're like, well, we don't know, but we think that we have some intelligence that some Arabs are trying to steal some triggering device, and we think that this may be what it is. And he has it. He has it. And so they give it. They show it. He shows him the thing. And they're like, oh, thanks. Give it to us. We'll take it. He's like, no. He's like, I need this. I need to get my wife back. If they don't give a shit about his wife.
Yeah.
They're just like, well, we want this thing. And so there's a big struggle for that thing. And she pepper sprays all of them while they're struggling, including him. And he manages to get him away, and he keeps the device, and they run off. So basically they indicate that, yeah, this thing is a very valuable detonator or some kind of thing that is crucial for sending nuclear missiles. So, and it was stolen by from the manufacturer and smuggled using this chick. So they go, finally, the two go to Touch of Class nightclub as a couple. And they give them the credit card from the maitre d' there the credit card from the guy's wallet. They're like, do you take this card? And they instantly recognize, okay, these guys know something. So meanwhile, we see the scene where they're like, she's dancing all weird, and he's like trying to play it off too, but tell that he's not very comfortable dancing this weird dance with this chick. But they're all watching him, and the guy shows up and is like, yeah, we still have your wife, doctor. And do you agree to make an exchange? And so they set up a new rendezvous point back at her apartment. He tries to just give her the money that she was supposed to make with this deal and get her out of this, because he realizes, like, look, I can't make this exchange with this chick. She'll fuck it up again. So he tries to pay her off and then go alone. But then she ends up coming along anyway. And meanwhile, she gets
herself killed. She refuses the money, even though she's just been asking for money the whole movie.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want your money. And it's just like, all right. I guess she just wants it from these people. So she comes
she's
in
like
and...
principal.
His wife is on a boat at this point, and they make the exchange, and she demands the money again. And then there's the cops show up, and then there's a big shootout, and she gets shot, and he rescues his wife, and meanwhile he doesn't even give over this thing, this detonator, because they run away because the cops are there, and she's bleeding on the ground, and he's trying to save her. He's trying to save her, and that's it. She dies.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. Like, and that's the whole movie. And like, basically, and he's like, "You want this thing?" And then they're like, "Yeah, thanks. Can you give it to us?" Like, the embassy guys are there at this point, and he just like chucks the thing into the water. He tells them
the
to fuck off.
Same, I believe.
What?
It's probably the Seine. Isn't the Seine River in...
Oh, the Seine River, yeah.
Seine?
The
Seine. It's probably not pronounced Seine, but I've never really been to Paris, so...
Yeah, so it's a good little movie there, you know, just wraps up pretty quickly. You don't even know what this
was. It was also kind of funny. I mean, it was like, it moved right along, and there were, like, some weird laughs. It was like Taken or something. It's like, much more serious and heavy than this movie was.
Yeah, so I liked it, and I thought that Harrison Ford played his, you know, usual, like, kind of...
Good.
Yeah, like, outraged doctor. And this would be a role that he would kind of play in a lot of different movies, like this kind of outraged, righteous indignation. So I thought that his performance was very good, and especially when he was, like, just dealing with these French guys. Like, he just kind of had this, like, rage against the French, you know?
Yeah, which is not, like, hard to relate to. I don't care if you're French. It's like, just feeling like people aren't paying attention to you when you need to be paid attention to more than any time in your entire life.
Right. And they're very, you know, they're just, like, totally blowing him off, like, oh, people's wives leave them all the time. You know? So, Kip, man, thanks. I appreciate you going through this movie with me. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
No, I too liked it and would recommend it. And, I might check out some other, apart from his pervy ways, Roman Polanski made some cool movies, I guess.
Yeah, he's a good director.
Yeah.
And he had some good misdirection here, so it made you guess through the whole movie until... Finally, you know, because I always thought when he first opened up that suitcase, I was like, oh, this could be a red herring. Like, the suitcase means shit here, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously, and it did a good job of like you when he opened up the suitcase, it really didn't look like there was anything in there. I mean, if there was like a bunch of drugs in there, you know, you'd think something, but just like looked like somebody's random suitcase from like a trip to you know, that went to America and came back with some stupid souvenirs and a bunch of shit. So that's the deal, man. And thanks again, everybody, for listening, man. And thank you, Kip. And
you're welcome.
We'll be back with another great 80s movie when we get a chance.